Mr. Apocalypse is coming. He's rising into view just like the sun. He's bringing living truth and bringing freedom. And a wake-up call designed for everyone. Might be the very thing you've been longing for, or it might be the very last thing on your mind. It could be something that you sent on ahead of you, or it could be something you left behind.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful, poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let's take a trip across the pond and this week's comments from Les Visible.
Oh! Greetings. And welcome, fellow travelers. How do my thoughts find you on this fine evening? Which is probably not evening for me, since it has to be done and sent on at an earlier hour, being as I am now in this time zone that falls like intermittent sunlight into a deep valley, with Europe on the other side of the world and the North American continent all some hours ahead. Every place on this planet has a destiny, and that has a time zone just like the non-metaphorical time zone. I like to think about these places as all climates of consciousness. As much as we enter into whatever the weather is there, we also bring our own weather modifications. We might embody a planetary force or a cultural meme, a material dream, or a musical theme. Emulation is the most sincere form of flattery. I'm guessing we wind up somewhere close to whoever's interest we served. I'm sure most of us know that just like there is a varied selection of locations on this planet, there are many, many more off-planet, as well as extra-dimensionally as extra-dimensional locations in an upward spiral of ever more refined atmospheres. A person could go in either direction, too. One could go in ever more coarse environments. What lies in all directions is beyond human imagining, from points not traveled on any of these routes previously. We've been talking about earthquakes in recent days. Mostly we've been talking about it because people have been talking about it, other people. There's some kind of math at work, apparently, and it has to do with recurrent cycles or the movements of astrological forces or conditions that are brought about by the state of the times. Why is less important than when? Simply because some things are inevitable, and then a great deal depends on where you are and who you are. And that is determined by all of what you have been doing that led you to where you are and who you are. Anyone not happy with where they are and who they are should be considering a change of venue in all departments. The how and why of that is not my concern, except personally where it applies to me. Everyone has to come to their own determination of what is needed. I reflect often on how I am spending my time, and of course I note that I am not spending enough time in a direct exchange with the ineffable. If this is a major attraction of yours, this is something you notice. Maybe it is because it gets brought to our attention by agents of the ineffable. Once we are on a particular path and have ever been sincere about any of it, we have minders and reminders that accompany us. This is not to say we cannot go astray, but simply that angels will walk the extra mile with us until we can get around that gradual curve that swings back into the cosmic groove. The cosmic groove is something we bounce in and out of until we are aerodynamically in sympathetic resonance with the cosmic groove. You will note how the music of the day and the other entertainments of the day and the culture and politics of the day are all constructed to separate you from the cosmic groove. If enough people can be separated enough from their own intrinsic nature, it will cause massive reactions from the natural, supernatural, and otherwise defined states of existence we inhabit. That can come in earthquakes, storms, firestorms. It can come in revolutions, wars, and economic catastrophes. All that chaos will serve to launch independent states of harmony for those sympathetic souls who are fortunately inclined toward the cosmic groove. In a world of duality, which is what this world of appearances is, one thing gives birth to another. Opposites interplay and produce synthesis and other forms of creation. With certain things, it is impossible to trace their provenance and to see what makes them expressed in them, and also the potential for what they may make expressed in them. I don't know if that makes sense. We're all part of the whole, but in times of material darkness, we do not all act like part of the whole. It becomes more and more likely that we will see the every man for himself syndrome, because that is what material culture brings to us, a perpetual struggle for survival. Well, against all other life forms, what do we do when we don't know what to do? Do we wobble along on the route of trial and error? Do we endlessly pig off of what seems to us to be opposites, shifting back and forth? What a Sisyphean labor it turns out to be. Up and down, until we cannot make it up far enough to go down anymore. One day follows the next, and the air is filled with specters of what might happen. They are insubstantial ghosts, and the truth is that they are only as real as the belief invested in them. Whatever this world is, it is certainly an expression of the totality of all of us thinking and feeling collectively. A matrix comes out of this, and we move to and fro, looking for a place or a state of balance in a world gone horribly out of balance, and what will the telling force on us? Will it be what drives us through the chaos of these changing times, or will it be the force of those changing times acting on us and making of us whatever the changing times want us to be? I'll have to apologize a little bit tonight for my coming and going in and out of focus here, but My throat is not clear at all, and I think it's because I stopped tobacco some days ago, and so all this keeps coming up in my system. So you have to bear with me. Hopefully you can hear what I'm saying, and you know I'm not actually, as I may sound, near death. Anyway, it all seems to me to be a kind of terrible uncertainty. If we look at history, it doesn't augur well in the long run. I was writing yesterday about the invisible and near-invisible life forms that exist in a small segment of Earth, and how in less than a yard of ground there are more life forms than all the birds and animals and humans put together. These life forms make up the basic integrity of physical life that, also unseen, makes up the poisoned underworld that lives and dies out of our perception. The same is true of the vast oceans that teem with life, but which teeming life is being reduced by the day due to the ravages of greed-driven plundering. We hear about Atlantis and Lemuria, which seems to have been around something like 10,000 years ago. Small bits and pieces of secondhand information that we have seem to indicate that some great tragedy went down and wiped those two advanced cultures out. Okay, that accounts for one small portion of vanished history, but what about the hundreds and thousands of vanished cultures of which nothing remains? No names, no stones, no bones. Sometimes we find some bones and we imagine that we put together a picture of what life might have been like then, but that's all just idle speculation. We don't know anything about them. These cyclings of cultures go on endlessly, and we know nothing. I occasionally bring up the free-to-download book by Manly Palmer Hall titled The Secret Teachings of All Ages. This book covers the course of a small handful of years. Well, centuries and all, but as they exist for us in badly recorded history. And if you read the book, you have to be rocked and stunned by the complexity of philosophies and belief systems that thrived at one time or another here and there and were vanished or are now vestigial at others. I've read this book and some larger amounts of the writings of alchemists and mystics, and it's just such a vast area of systems and ideologies. What does any of it mean? Were they real and relevant at the time but not now? Was any of them more true and reflective of the truth than others? Did those that followed them get to some higher level of understanding? Did they die and disappear, knowing no more in the end than they did when they set out? I ponder these things often, trying to make sense out of my life and sense out of myself, and I am left with certain inescapable realities. Some of us, I am certain, have reached states of illumination beyond which I have attained to, and I have come to the understanding that I will not ever arrive at these similar states of revelation without the help of one of these illuminated beings. So I reach within in prayers and meditation for contact with residents from luminous spheres in hope that an enduring contact will be made. I suspect I have already made this contact. Certainly my meeting with the man on the beach accounts for that, but I'm looking for the greater intensity that tells me I have docked with the grand starship of eternal consciousness. Until the certitude of that runs in me like the blood runs in its courses through my body, I cannot cease in the pursuit. For many, it is enough to have the embracing arms of some traditional faith with its rituals and cants, its dogmas and traditions, but for me, the journey hasn't even begun until these houses of the dead have been left behind. I often think of the religions and other systems in this world brought into being by the appearances of God in human form as being some kind of chiffarobe or closet in which there are clothes hanging, and each set of clothes is an outfit worn by the divine during one of his or her visits here upon this earth. And religions are belief systems that have been created around the worship of one of these sets of clothes or another, and despite their possible value as some sort of totem or spiritually infused artifact, the divine presence that was clothed in these garments has moved on and is no longer present in these empty suits. But people worship these empty garments as if they were still being worn by the divine, but the divine has moved on. The divine is the living light of the eternal present. There is no past or future for the divine. Past and future are nothing more than margins of mortality. We are the ones cursed with the belief in the past and future. We are the ones who have partitioned our minds in order to be separated from ourselves, and we cannot be whole until the divine comes and resides within us and banishes both past and future, transforms them into waterfalls that pour endlessly into the immortal present that we are now. I'm trying to say something here, and it is one of those things that is near impossible to say. I am trying to say that for myself, I have come to the limits of what I can learn from written words or observation, because there's a veil over the celestial realm that I am not empowered to remove or to pierce. It seems that I must just stand here until this veil is lifted by the ineffable. I learned so many things, and I know nothing. I wrote this song in which I try to describe what it is like for me. It goes like this. It's a hard, hard highway. I don't know where it ends. I struggle to stay straight every time the highway bends. And I'm in the open country with no maps, nowhere to stay. I've tried so hard to get here. Don't let me fade away. Don't let me fade away and disappear from sight. These hands pull at me. I have no strength to fight. By myself, I'm nothing, with nothing more to say. Don't let me disappear. Don't let me fade away. I've lived in darkness. It's much too crowded there. The light becomes invisible. They suffer everywhere. Yeah, I've been lost before. Please hear me when I pray. If you really do, support me. Don't let me fade away. Don't let me fade away and vanish from your sight. These hands pull at me. I have no strength to fight. By myself, I'm nothing with nothing more to say. Don't let me disappear. Don't let me fade away. Every time I try to go my way alone, I don't get very far before I can't find my way home. Then all I do is suffer, and then I curse the day. Don't let me disappear. Don't let me fade away. Don't let me disappear and vanish from your sight. These hands pull at me. I have no will to fight. By myself, I'm nothing, with nothing more to say. Don't let me disappear. Don't let me fade away. I don't know about you, but we're all at the level of understanding that we're at. We're all on some specific stairs on the spiral staircase or a particular landing between floors, and we only know what is possible for us to know at the level we're at. We don't know any more than that. In the end, it comes down to having the proper degree of intensity of faith. It will bring us to a gulf that might seem so wide it has no other side, or it might only be as wide as our fear. And this means that if our faith is at the level it needs to be, we can simply step across like it was nothing. Personally, I believe that you have to follow in the footsteps of those who have gone before and who have succeeded. You cannot arrive there on your own efforts. Personal will cannot triumph at this particular caper, which is a quest to end all quests. This quest is defined by a personal failure to achieve and is then accomplished through grace. This is what I have come to believe. This is why I stand at the furthest end of what I can travel on my own, and there is a recognition that comes with this and informs me that I have never been alone and or unguided. It has only seemed that way because of the relative interplay of opposites in the realm of appearances. I am left with the sense that prayer, unceasing prayer, is the answer, and an utter reliance upon the cosmic will to accomplish in me all that I have failed to accomplish on my own. I see now that there are two things I must acquire. One of them is the presence of God, and the other is the qualities of God, as they are able to be expressed through me, and the presence of God brings these qualities to maturation within. Am I right in this belief? I don't know. All that I do know is that I have gone too far to turn back, and I can go no further on my own. I guess we will call that an impasse. Time will tell, and we shall see. Well, my dear friends, we've come to the end of another broadcast, and I will see you next week, if there is one. In the meantime, hold to your center and trust with great fervor in the Almighty, from whom all blessings flow. Sooner or later, our redemption will come. It is a matter of endurance and fortitude. Are you up to the task? Time will tell, and we shall see. That said, Om Amitabha. Greetings, my good friend Lord Ganesh. Much love, Lady Nature. Hail, Lord Jesus Christ. Hare Krishna. La ilaha il alahu. Carry on, Baha'u'llah. Aloha and Aru. Yeah, yeah. Sorry about all the vocals. Please forgive me.
He's long and tall and slender, and he's got a walking stick. You'll be changed forever if you get hit by it. He's coming for the Zionists and all their bankers too. And if you don't behave yourself, he's coming after you. There's no way to stop him. He can't be bribed or bought. And he's sweeter than the air in spring, and meaner than you thought. You're the deer inside his headlights, if you're the kind that hunts by night. No one stays anonymous when they get you in his eyes. Mr. Apocalypse is coming, oh yeah. He's rising into view just like the sun. He's bringing living truth, he's bringing freedom. Wake-up call designed for everyone. He's here. Mr. Apocalypse is here.
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSIC Radio Network of Stations.